Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
There's a sweet relief. There's a sweet relief. There's a sweet relief. There's a sweet relief. There's a sweet relief.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Many of you have seen him make a way.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, when it looked like there was no way,
oh, yeah.
He made a way.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Bless him. Let us stand all over this place. Truly, the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. And God, it is our prayer that you would speak a word to our hearts and to our minds, a word, God, to help us along life's way, a word to remind us that you are God and God all by yourself. We thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to call your attention this morning to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 10. And I'm going to encourage you to read chapter 10 in its entirety when you get home. I want to read for your hearing the verse 13. Amen. Verse 13. And it says, "And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants." Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. As we know, this is our annual Women's Month, and we thank God for the women of our church and the great work that they do for the kingdom of God. Amen. And I would remind you, I don't know how many of you watched the State of the Union address this week, but I watched it and I was so happy and so pleased with our president. You can clap for that. Amen. One of the things that he said that really moved on my heart, he said that you can't just love your country when you win. You can't just love it when you win. And I would say that of our church as well. You can't just love your church when you are in position or when you are in the spotlight or when you are in charge. You've got to, if you love it, amen, none of that really matters. Do I have a witness here this morning? And so I want to thank God for the women of our church who support the church throughout the year and over the course of these 125 years that the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church has been in existence since 1899. And I want to submit and suggest to you what perhaps you already know, and that is that we would not still be here. We would not have survived if it had not been for the godly women of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Oh, my. I could stand here and name names, but I don't want to get in trouble. Amen. But my mind goes back to the old church where I was baptized. That's now a house of prayer. That's where we were when I was baptized in this church at some 7 years old. Brother Thompson said he was baptized over there, too. Is that what you said? All right. Amen. So we thank God for Pleasant Hill. I remember Sister Maggie Freeman. I said I wasn't going to call no name. I remember Rosie Edison. I remember Julia Shade, Cora Wilson. I remember Sister Silva Lee Cherry, Sister Juanita Cowens. I remember, I called Sister Edison already. Amen, didn't I? I said Sister Edison. All right, you ain't listening. I remember many of those old saints, amen, who helped to train me and teach me in Sunday school and training union and all of that. Amen. Come on, let's give a hand to the godly women. Sister Jimmy Ellis. Oh, my. Oh, my. Sister Birdie Lee Mallett. I got to just slow down now because I started something. Amen. Y'all help me out. Sister Lucille Kilgore. Sister Mary Jewel Hickerson. Oh, my. Oh, my. Sister Caldonia Walker. All right. Sister Oberia Wash. Amen. Sister Audrine Smith, you can't hurry God. You just have to wait. Who else? Who? Sister Lily Garner, amen. And I know she's watching. We thank God she's still here, 95, amen. And she's still working for her church, even though she can't get here every Sunday. Hallelujah. Who else? Sister Louise Haynes, Sister Ava Hart, amen, number one. Who else? Sister, amen. Let me stop. Let me stop. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Sister Catherine Tinsley, amen. See what y'all started? Y'all always starting something. Ushers, y'all can go ahead and be seated. God bless you. I want to talk about women who know who they are because of what God has placed in them. The kind of women who aren't afraid to walk in all of their gifts. I wonder if we have any women like that today. You don't back down, amen. You're not shy, amen. You're not bashful about what God has placed in you. Well, come on, I ought to have some women in here who will testify. I don't mind, Pastor, walking in all my, I don't care who gets intimidated. What did Dion say? What did Dion Sanders say? We're going to have an interactive church today. Yeah, he said some folk are offended, intimidated by his confidence. I wonder if there are any women here today who don't care if folk are intimidated because of your confidence, because you know who you are, but most importantly, because you know, you are aware of who you belong to. You are a child of the Most High King. Somebody ought to give him praise here today. The kind of women, like many of the women I named from our old church, many of the women in our history, some of them, like my mother, who can tell stories about how when she was growing up, she had to go in the back door places. Many women clean floors for people all week long, but on Sunday, y'all. See, it's a challenge now to get some folk to come to church, and they still using the pandemic as an excuse, but there were some women in our history who had to go to colored water fountains and use colored bathrooms and had to clean folks' houses and all that kind of stuff, amen, but on Sunday morning. They didn't have a closet full of dresses like, you know, a lot of y'all have now. You got to get in there and decide which one is I going to wear today, amen. Many of them had but one and one good pair of shoes, but on Sunday morning. They would pull it out and clean it up and dress it up and show up in the house of God in spite of all the hell they went through that week. They knew where their praise belonged. It belonged in the house of prayer, and it belonged to the Most High God. I wonder if there are any women here this morning who know where your blessings come from. You know that the gifts that you possess, amen, are there because God has blessed you, and you don't mind giving him praise. Come on and give him some praise this morning. They would walk into the house of God with dignity and grace. I wanna do what theologians call reading against the text. You see, this text that I've asked you to read when you get home, it really is about Solomon and his wisdom. Amen. This story is included in the book of Kings. It's really highlighting the wisdom of Solomon. But I want to argue this morning that this text also can speak to us about the Queen of Sheba and the kind of women, ladies, that God wants you to be. Where are my queens in the house? Hallelujah. The Queen of Sheba stands out among biblical women. The biblical narrator does not tell her story the way other women are portrayed in the Bible. She's not the mother of. She's not listed as the daughter of. She's not listed as the wife of or the niece of. Come on. Thank God. Amen. She's not barren. She's not broken. She's not bent over. She's not bleeding. She doesn't even have to be loose. She's not competing like Hagar or Sarah to be the mother to the heir of the promise. She's not competing like Leah and Rachel for the attention of a man. She's not begging God for children like Sarah, Hannah, and Rachel. She's even a different kind of queen. She doesn't rise to power because of her beauty. She doesn't receive her promotion at the demotion of someone else. She doesn't have to deny who she is or her ethnicity to gain power. She doesn't have to petition a king. She doesn't have to have Mordecai show up and remind her that she was chosen for such a time as this. She is unique among women. She's the kind of woman who knows that she came to the planet with a purpose. I wonder if there are any purpose-driven women in the house this morning. Hallelujah. You ought to give God some praise. And so I want to lift from the pages of antiquity the sister, the Queen of Sheba, because she stands out. And my sister's here this morning at Pleasant Hill. I believe that she can teach you something about being a woman of God. The Bible says, the Queen of Sheba came to test King Solomon with hard questions. Oh, let me back up, rewind, read that again. The Queen of Sheba came to test King Solomon with hard questions. Y'all read your Bible, don't you? Don't y'all know who Solomon was? He was the wisest man that ever lived. And yet the report is that Queen Sheba came to test the wisest man that ever lived with hard questions. Y'all still don't get it. Do you understand that in order to ask a question, you got to know the answer? Here this woman shows up at the doorstep of the wisest man that ever lived to ask him some questions. And the implication is that for her to ask King Solomon some questions, she had to have some wisdom herself. Oh my. I believe that this text is tailored to teach you ladies that great women of God are the subject of their own story. And like the Queen of Sheba, they are willing to chart their own course. Now, when you read this text, the first thing you will discover, it says that she heard about his fame. Now watch it, because I want you to pay careful attention to what piqued her interest in King Solomon. It wasn't because he was a superstar athlete. It wasn't because he was the Denzel of his day. The Bible says she came to test Solomon with hard questions because she heard of his fame as it relates to his relationship with God. She heard what got her interested in Solomon was that she heard that this brother had a special relationship with God. Oh my, he could have asked God for riches. He could have asked God for wealth and for fame. But when God asked him, "What do you desire?" he said, "Give me knowledge, wisdom, and understanding." And Queen Sheba is such a sharp woman that moved something in her. She wanted to know what kind of man would turn down gold and silver and high-paying jobs and promotions and wealth and expensive clothes and all of that. What kind of brother would turn all of that down just to know God better, just to have a better relationship with God? I think there's a lesson in here for the young sisters. I'm talking, they may not be in Pleasant Hill this morning, but I see them in the mall, and I see them, amen, a lot of places, amen. A lot of them are driven by wealth, and they want to know what kind of car a brother drives. But can I tell the young sister something? Amen, a bank don't mind giving a Negro a loan for a car, but let him go try to get a loan to start a business, they turn their backs on it. So don't get caught up just because he drives a nice car. I wish some of y'all would help me up in here. Don't get your head clouded just because he wears some nice clothes and he's got on the latest sneakers. You better find out what he knows, what he's got in his head. You better find out what kind of relationship he has with God. My sisters, you ought to want to know, is he going to run to the altar when he gets in trouble? You ought to want to know if he's able to get on his knees and grab hold to the horns of the altar and call on the name of God. I wish I had some godly women here this morning. The text says that she told him all that was on her mind. Now, see, some of y'all wondered if this was a black woman or not. And you ought to highlight that right there, because that tells it right there. It says that Queen Sheba, the sister, did not mind telling brother everything that was on her mind. Amen. There's some humor in that, but there's some truth in that, too. Say amen, somebody. Because we know, amen, my sisters don't mind giving you a piece of their mind. As a matter of fact, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Amen. Stop giving so many pieces of your mind. This is for the brothers too. Sometimes I'll give them a piece of my mind. That's why you ain't got much left. You've been giving away pieces of it. You better hold on to it. Come on. I'm guilty too. Some stuff I shouldn't have said. Amen. Folk rubbed me the wrong way, and I thought I'd give them a piece of my mind. I ought to just prayed for them and told them about Jesus. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise here today. But then next, the text says, she said, I had to come and see with my own eyes. That tells me that great women of God see stuff with their own eyes. Because if you're willing to believe what the media tells you about the brothers and about men, amen, you'll miss it. I want to submit and suggest to you this morning that all of the brothers are not on cops. They're not all in jail. God still has some priestly kings who appreciate a woman of virtue and excellence. If you're going to be a great woman of God, one of his queens, you have to see with your own eyes. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying stop entertaining gossip. Stop savoring rumors and speculations on everything. Some things you need to find out for yourself. Say amen, somebody. And some things you need to leave alone because, frankly, it ain't none of your business. Oh, I knew I wouldn't get any amens right through there. The Queen of Sheba said, I had to come and see with my own eyes. The reason you have to go and see with your own eyes is because in the text, she says only the half was told. And y'all know that's how folk do when they talk about you. They won't tell the whole story. Help me out up in here, somebody. Amen. They'll tell how you messed up. They don't mind telling, amen, where you were at. They just forget to tell you how they know you were there. Because they was up in there too. Say amen, somebody. She said, y'all ain't did nothing but tell me half the story. Amen, amen. She said, because when I got there and saw it for myself, she said, amen, it far exceeded the report I heard in my own country. If you only listen to what the folk are saying, you will never be able to do a great work for God. That goes for men and women. I promise you, I would have never accomplished many of the things God has allowed me to accomplish in my life if I had listened to what the folk said. Try God for yourself. Come on, help me preach this morning. Turn to your neighbor and nudge him and tell him, try God for yourself. Don't you hear the writer? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Where are my folk who heard that? But when you tried God for yourself, you found out that he's better than good. Amen. Amen. How many of you can say that about your relationship with God? Mama told me that he was a good God. Daddy told me that he would make a way. But I had to see it for myself, and I've got to testify that as much as mama and daddy told me about God, it wasn't until I got to know him for myself that I discovered that only the half had been told. They told me that he would be a friend, but I found out that that's half the story. He's not just a friend. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. They told me that he's a way maker, but that's just half the story. He won't just make a way. I found out for myself that he'll make a way out of no way. I found out that he is the way. Come on, give him praise in this place. This text is tailored to teach us that godly women are the kind of women who will chart their own course. They will go and see with their own eyes. They're the kind of women who understand that they have to have something on their minds. Then it says, she showed up and saw Solomon's kingdom, and Solomon had it all. He had a great job. He was the king. He had a nice house. He lived in a palace. He had a great reputation. The text says that when she saw his kingdom and all of his servants, the King James Version says that she became overwhelmed. The literal translation is that there was no more spirit or breath left in her. In other words, when she saw Solomon, y'all, he left her breathless. The Queen of Sheba charted her own course. Came to test Solomon with hard questions. She saw his wisdom. But look how the text ends in verse 13. It says, King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired. Let me back up, rewind, say it again. It says, King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired and ask for. Now see, the ladies ain't saying nothing right through here because they know that they have that unusual knack, that unusual ability, amen, to get what they want. Yeah, see, they real quiet brothers right through here. Amen. Because they think we don't know, amen, that they know, amen, how to get what they want. And we may as well give them credit. They know how to work it. Amen. God gave them the wherewithal to work it. And so I ain't mad at the sisters. Amen. For being able to get what they want. Now the brother's quiet. They won't even look at the wife. Hallelujah. Thank God for godly women. Woman of God, you've got to be who God has called you to be. Because God has positioned you in a place where you can make all the difference for such a time as this. God is trying to move somebody